to begin in Matthew chapter 1 with the genealogy of Christ. We're going to be talking about Asa, the king of Judah. But we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 1. The passage that you have before us is the title of our lesson. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. That title comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 2, when God's prophet Azariah said to the king of Asa those words. And so we'll be looking at that in just a moment. But as we begin in Matthew chapter 1 and we look at the genealogy of Christ, we want to focus our attention on verse 7 and 8 to begin with. It says in verse 7, Solomon begot Rehoboam, Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Asa begot Jehoshaphat. So what we find in these verses is that King Solomon is the great-grandfather of the king that we're talking about, Asa. And Solomon, as we know, had 700 wives and princesses, as they're called, and they turned his heart away from serving God, from being loyal to God. That's found over in 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 3 and 4. If you'll turn over there, hold your place in Matthew chapter 1. But if you go over to 1 Kings chapter 11, you'll see where the scriptures talk about how him in these marriages had turned his heart away from being loyal to God. Verse 7, then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives who burned incense and sacrificed to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord, God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And he commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servants. So we see in this passage that Solomon turned away. If you back up to verse 3 and 4, which is on the slide there, it says, and he had the 700 wives, the princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. So it was when Solomon was old that his wife turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So he had had his heart stolen away, and therefore God, as we read in those other verses, punished and took away, tore the kingdom out of his hands. Well, as you know, if you come back to Matthew chapter 1, it says Solomon begot Rehoboam. Well, that was Solomon's son, who then would reign over the southern kingdoms, because the kingdom, in fact, does divide. And Rehoboam would then be Asa's grandfather, to put this into a picture for us to understand this king that we're talking about. If you look at 1 Kings chapter 14, again holding your place in Matthew chapter 1, in 1 Kings chapter 14 and in verse 21, the scriptures say, and Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, and they committed more than all their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images on every high hill, under every green tree. And there was also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So Rehoboam, it says, was like his father, had done evil. He was somebody that was, again, not loyal to God, but in fact was doing evil. And then we find back in Matthew chapter 1 that it says that Rehoboam begat Abijah, and Abijah then would be Asa's father. So now we're getting closer to Asa. And if you look at 1 Kings chapter 15, and you can turn away now from Matthew chapter 1, but in 1 Kings chapter 15, in the first three verses, in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, Abijam became king over Judah. Again, now this is Asa's father. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem, had a very short reign. He reigns 3 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him. His heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. So here we have Abijam reigning only these 3 short years, but the thing I want you to notice is it says that his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God. So you've got Solomon, whose heart's turned away, Rehoboam, who does evil, and then we have Abijam here, who Abijah, he's also known as Abijam in other accounts. So Abijah or Abijam is also not loyal to the Lord. And so what we find, though, is if you look at the 15th chapter here of 1 Kings, we find that Asa, King Asa, his son, will break this cycle. Will break this cycle. And so I'm going to read a few verses with you now. Look at verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 9. In the 12th year of Jeroboam, the king of Israel, Asa became king over Judah. He reigned 41 years in Jerusalem. That's a long time. You remember Saul reigned 40, David reigned 40, Solomon reigned 40 years. Here Asa reigns 41 years. He's not the longest of the kings, but he reigned a long time, unlike many of the others. And notice what it says. He reigned these 41 years in Jerusalem. His grandmother's name was Maachah, the granddaughter of Abishalom. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, as his father David. And he banished the perverted persons from the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. Now notice this. He also removed Maachah, his grandmother, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image of Ahasuerus. And Asa cut down her obscene image and burned it in the brook of Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was loyal to the Lord all his days. And so now we see that cycle has been broke. And so you think about how you can overcome. Just an overall thought is how you're able to overcome your environment. And that's so important. Many of you maybe have overcome your environment. You know, there's been just wickedness and drunkenness and all these things in your house. And no belief in God, no worship of God, and you broke that cycle. You came out of that. And so we have Asa, who is king of Judah. So this is a person of interest and importance in the scheme of things. Why is he in the genealogy of Christ? You see, that's how important he is. He's actually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. So we're talking about a man who's God has used to actually carry out the plan that you talked about, Chad. God had a plan, and he carried it out through all these individuals, even wicked Rehoboam, even his David's son Solomon, whose heart was turned away. But he breaks this cycle. And so while putting this lesson together, I found that term, the Lord, this idea of loyalty to the Lord. And what you find is that when we look at this, Solomon and Abijah, it is said, they were not loyal to the Lord. Their hearts would turn away. It doesn't say that about Rehoboam that I found, but obviously he continued in the ways, in these wicked ways as we read. But that particular phrase, loyal to the Lord, either not loyal to the Lord or loyal to the Lord. And so what you find is you found that King Asa, it said, was loyal to the Lord. And so to understand what it means to be loyal to the Lord, hold your place here, because this is where we'll spend some time, that and in Chronicles. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 8 and in verse 61. To get an idea, I thought this was a great way to say, well, what does it mean? If you were to say, well, I'm loyal to the Lord, what does it mean for you to be loyal to the Lord as Asa was? Well, in the 61st verse of 1 Kings chapter 8, it says, let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God. Loyal to what? To walk in his statutes, keep his commandments as at this day. So how do you, loyal to the Lord is to put your trust and your confidence and to obey him. You know, so somebody can say, oh, I'm loyal to Jesus. I'm loyal to the Lord. I'm loyal to God. But just like we say out on the sign, do you know if you are a friend of Jesus? Do you know if you love Jesus? Can you know? And it's found in our actions, isn't it? And so our loyalty is known by the fact that we are in obedient unto the commands, the statutes, the things of God. And so this is what is said of Asa, that he is loyal. And in fact, the English Standard Version says, wholly true, wholly true. The King James, the American Standard, probably the New American Standard translates it perfect. And we don't like that word, but it's this idea of being totally, completely committed to God, and therefore it's observed in your actions. So his loyalty to God is seen in one of the things that's mentioned here. He had his grandmother. Think about your grandmother. I think of my grandmothers, and I think about kicking them out. But that's what he did. Why? Because she had made this idol to the Canaanite god. And he took her out of any kind of whatever royal status she might have. He removed her. And so that made me think, and so I'll do this every now and then, that made me think of this point. Loyalty to God above any loyalty that we have to our family. I try to stress that. That is so important. Our loyalty is to God. We are not doing any of our family any favor or service when we ignore sin or we're loyal to them above loyalty to God. We let them dictate where we're going and we forsake the assembly because why? Well, we got to go over here. We got to go over there. We're loyal to our family. This king who was loyal to God had his grandmother removed as the queen because she, in fact, was an idolater. And so he took a stand. Now, his father had not done that. His father had not done that for his mother. No, he had continued and was not loyal to the Lord. And so we can see that. I think that's a very important point. We're going to switch over now. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. As you know, in the Kings and in the Chronicles, you find that you have details in the Kings and you have maybe more details in the Chronicles. We're going to spend some time here in the Chronicles of the Kings. In 2 Chronicles chapter 14, and let's read verse 2 through 8. Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods in high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places. Now, before in Kings, it said he didn't do that. But here we find that during this 41-year reign, he does continue to do the right things. It says he removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, let us build these cities and make walls around them and towers and gates and bars while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 287,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. And these were mighty men of valor. So he has this army now, and he's fortified the cities, not just in Jerusalem and that, but all of Judea. They've built and they fortified themselves, and they're having rest, meaning there's peace. There's no trouble that is confronting them. And there was 580,000 men soldiers. Some were carried the bow. Others carried the spear and their shields. And it says they were mighty men of valor. That means that they were strong. They were good at what they did. All right? But this peace is interrupted when we pick up in verse 10. This peace is interrupted by Zerah the Ethiopian and his army of 1 million men. So now we've got 580 and there's 1 million men. And this man has 300 chariots. And now he's going to come up and he's going to challenge Asa, King Asa, and God's people. So what do you do? What do you do when this happens? Well, let's look at verse 10. So Asa went out against him, and they set their troops in battle array in the valley of Zephrathah of Marsha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against us. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people were with him pursued them to Gera, so the Ethiopians were overthrown and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil, and they defeated all the cities around Gera, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. So what did Asa do in times of trouble? So he's been at peace. He's built up this army. And now this first man that comes against him, he's got a bigger army. And what does he do? He turns to God. He turned to God. And that's what he should do. In times of trouble, you turn to God. That's where your trust should be. That's where your loyalty should be, no matter what the circumstances of life. This is what you and I need to do in our times of trouble. That's exactly what we need to do. We need to turn to God in our times of trouble, every time of trouble. And so the Lord blessed them, and they chased them off. In fact, if you notice those last few verses, what happened? They were able to get a lot of spoil. their resources and assets increased, so God even blessed them through that. And why was that? Why is God blessing King Asa? Because he's gone and he's wiped out this idolatry. He's taken his grandmother out of position. He's torn down the high places. He's serving God and he's loyal to God. Now, when you look at chapter 15, we'll keep looking at the story. If you look at the first 16 verses there, let's do some reading again. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold from the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, so basically you've got the northern kingdom coming down, going to try to wreak havoc among the southern kingdom, Judah, King Asa. And what does he do? Well, he takes this silver and gold from the treasury of the house of the Lord, and he goes to the king of Syria, to Ben-Hadad. And so here's what happens. Then there will be let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I've sent you silver and gold. Come, break your treaty with Baasha, king of Judah, so that we will withdraw from me. So Ben-Hadad heeded King Asa and sent the captains of the armies against the cities of Israel. They attacked Ijon, Dan, Abel, Maim, and all the storage cities of Naphtali. Now it happened when Baasha heard it that he stopped building Ramah and ceased his work. Then King Asa took all Judah and they carried away the stones of timber of Ramah and Baasha had used for building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. So what we see, again, is that these men have come out, come down, and he's gone around and he's getting the king of Syria involved. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to king of Judah, Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you've relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lumim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on you shall have wars. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, and he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. So what we find in this passage, as I realize now, I've read chapter 16 instead of 15. Isn't that bad when you go and read the wrong chapter? All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up. See, Ethan, it happens. You back up. You got to remember everything we just read, but we got to go to the 15th chapter. All right, so in the 15th chapter, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed. And for time's sake, because I have gone ahead, I'm going to come back. So Azariah comes, and this is when he says to Asa, the Lord is with you while you are with him. Look there at verse 2. When he went out to meet Asa, he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with me. If you seek me, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." So you find two important truths. This one, the Lord is with you while you are with him. So there is a contingency. The Lord doesn't forsake us. We move away from him. So King Asa has been doing good. So they have defeated the army that's come up from Ethiopia. He's being encouraged. He's being praised for having done right. He says, if you seek him, the Lord will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So that becomes important as he is encouraged now by this particular prophet, this man who comes and gives him a message. And he's thankful for that. He's encouraged by that. And yet the kingdom is divided. And yet in the text, and here's what I want you to see too. Notice what it says in verse 3. For a long time Israel, this is chapter 15, for a long time Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him. He was found by them. And in those times, there was no peace to the one who went out or to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall prevail. And when Asa heard these words in the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land, and of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities. And what you find is this when in the chronicle letter is when he actually has his grandmother removed, okay? So that as you go through. What I want you to see is now down in verse 12. Then they entered a covenant to seek the Lord of their father with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord, God of Israel, was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice and shouting and trumpets and ram horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn by all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And what he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. He also removed his grandmother, all right, and he cut down the image. But the high places, it says, were not removed. Verse 18, he also brought into the house of God the things that the Father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So what we see is now, so that was about the 11th year that the king of Ethiopia had come up. And so now we see for what, about 26 years or so, he's had peace again. He's doing the right things. And so what we find, though, is that he's encouraged. I want you to back up and look with me at verse 9. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with them. What I want you to see is that, you remember what Jeroboam did? We got Rehoboam and Jeroboam. The kingdom divides. Jeroboam to the north, Rehoboam to the south. What did Jeroboam do? You remember he built the two calves. Why did he build the two calves in Dan and Beersheba? Because he didn't want them to come down into Jerusalem, where they're supposed to come and worship. So King Asa has all this success, and notice who starts coming down. Notice what it says. It says, those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, that's to the north, Manasseh, Simeon, they came over to him in great numbers from Israel. So a lot of people start coming down into Judah because of Asa and what's going on, the great success, the peace that they're having. Because as the seer says, if you seek him, he will be found. But if you forsake him, he will not forsake you. The Lord is with you while you're with him. So good things are happening. So I want to make this point. It's not only evil that spreads and influences, which is what we most often talk about. But you know what also spreads? Good. When we do good. And King Asa is doing good. And it's catching on. They're coming down. They're coming down. They're entering this covenant. They're going to be loyal to God. Verse 12 says, then they entered into the covenant to seek the Lord their Father. And you know what they did? It says that they wholly sought the Lord. And that's the way I sum that up, with all their heart and their soul, We would add strength and mind. So good things are happening. They're turning to God. And that's exactly right. They should turn. You have to seek the Lord. Wholly seek the Lord. But I also want you to note that when we're doing wrong, we can always turn around. You can turn around and you can repent. Because those that are coming down from the northern kingdom, that's exactly what they're doing. See, they're coming down and they're turning away from the wickedness that's going on in the northern kingdom. And so we find that, again, we can change our heart. We can change our will to that of the Lord's. And so now, things are going well. And so now I'm going to say, okay, we're going to have to go to chapter 16. But then trouble arises in the 36th year of Asa, there in chapter 16 and verse 1. So I won't take the time to read that again, as I already have. But as we see, Baasha, king of Israel, builds the city of Ramah. And if you look at maps, you'll find that sometimes there's a question mark. But the king of Israel, now you think about what's happening. What is a ruler going to try to do? Well, let's maybe illustrate it this way. What's the mayor of New York City and the governor of New York trying to do right now? Trying to stop the bleeding. They got a lot of people leaving the city and the state. They said, we're done, and they're starting to leave. Right? And what are they doing? They're trying to stop the bleeding. They're trying to say, come back, please don't leave. What do you think this wicked king's going to do up in the northern kingdom? Well, he's going to come down here and build a city and say, you can't go past that city. You see, we got to stop you from going back down into Jerusalem. You can't go over into the southern kingdom. You see, the kingdom is divided, and so that's what he does. He comes down and it says he builds this city of Ramah. Now, so that's what he does. Now, what is Asa going to do? And we've already read, so the cat's out of the bag already. But what's he going to do? Because here's another time of trouble. What is he going to do? You know what he did, as I just described a few minutes ago. Did he seek and turn to the Lord this time? Like he did when the Ethiopian king came up? What did he do? He took money, silver, and things out of the treasury of the temple, and he went and he got Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, to join forces and come down, and he ran off the king of Israel. All right? So that's what happened. What will he do? Did he cry unto the Lord and seek his help like we read earlier? No, not this time. He didn't do that at all. He didn't do that at all. So the Lord sent the seer, Hananiah. And so now we'll spend some time in verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you've relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and Libum not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. So he brings up the past event that we studied already. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. You shall have wars. So you've got a completely different response to the trouble. So earlier we were talking about, what do you do in times of trouble? You turn to the Lord. And that's what he did. This time he didn't do that. And so the scripture says he acted foolishly. He acted foolishly. There's a great lesson that you have to rely on the Lord at all times. At all times. Because the Lord is actually glorified. The text brings that out as well. When he's able to show himself as being strong on behalf of his people. You know, and so by him not turning, God didn't have a way. Well, let me back that up. God always has a way. But God did not, because he didn't turn to him. God couldn't show his power there. Instead, he turned to an earthly king to help him in this time of trouble. And that was foolish. And Asa had been foolish in turning to Syria and not to the Lord. And so God expects us to turn to Him every time there is trouble. He expects us to do that. He expects us to turn to Him in times of trouble. So when Baasha was turned away, the Lord informs Asa, "From now on you shall have wars." And here's the point I want to make. It didn't have to be that way. It did not have to be that way. If he had trusted in the Lord and called upon the Lord, it didn't have to go that way. And notice that something else that's troubling. If you look at what he does there in verse 10, Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison. Before, when the man of God came and spoke to him and said, "You've done good," he was encouraged. But when this seer came and told him he had done foolishly, he threw him in prison. And not only that, but it says that he oppressed some of the people at that time. He took his anger out on the people. I was looking at that word, the Hebrew word for oppressed, and it means to, he cracked them into pieces. And you think, literally? No. But that's the picture. He crushed them. The ESV says, inflicted cruelties. He was cruel to the people in his anger. He had messed up, and he took it out on somebody else. What has happened? And I thought about that, because I thought, what changed? And I don't know that I know the answer. And I'll probably have to do some more studying. But I suspect pride has a lot to do with it. But for whatever reason, he went from crying out to God to not crying out to God. But as we know, that's not the rest of the story. Let's look at verse 11. Note that the acts of Asa, first and last, are indeed written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And in the 39th year of his reign, so he's going to die in his 41st year, in the 39th year of his reign, he became diseased in his feet, and his malady was severe. Yet in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but the physicians. So Asa rested with his fathers, and he died the 41st year of his reign, and they buried him. Asa became diseased in his feet. Do we have anything like that today? Sadly, the Amoses are dealing with that very real. We can. And that disease, that malady, was very severe. Now, did he seek the Lord in his time of need? What has happened to his loyalty? He turned to doctors. He turned to doctors. He did not seek the Lord. It says he sought out doctors. You know, I see a stark contrast between him and Hezekiah in a few short years later. King Hezekiah comes along. Isaiah comes and says, "You get your house in order, you're going to die." What did Hezekiah do? Rolled over, turned his face to the wall, and he started praying. And before Isaiah could get out of the building, God said, "Go back up and tell him he's got 15 years. What did Asa do? He didn't seek the Lord. He put his trust and his confidence in doctors. Now listen, I'm going to say some things, but I think it's important for us to understand a few things. There's a number of good thoughts. The passage teaches us how important it is to seek the Lord in times of sickness and disease. I'm thankful for doctors, but I do not put my trust in them before I put my trust in the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that disease won't take my life and I won't die. But my trust is in the Lord first. First and foremost, always. And so what I find myself doing is I can pray for the doctor. Because I want to ask God to be actively involved every step of the way. Because I know who has the power, like we sing, has the germ in his hand, who has the power to change his mind. Now, I'm not saying there are miracles, but I will put my trust in the Lord when it comes to disease before I'll put my trust in man. And I think many of us have had enough experience to hear the words, I don't know, from a man who's been practicing for 30 years, and he says, I don't know. So who can we trust? Asa, it's very specifically, he says he did not seek the Lord. He went to the doctors, just like he went to king of Syria, and he did not trust and seek the Lord. So his loyalty has changed. I think of the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. You remember what it specifically says? She had spent everything she has on doctors. And it wasn't until she touched the hem of the Lord that she was healed. I'm not promoting miracles. It shows that she had a profound trust that if I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And the key there is the trust in God. I'm thankful for doctors. But I am so much more thankful that I have the Lord. Aren't you? I would think that would get a resounding amen. Because all of us are going to grow old. And here's another point as we wind down. Finish strong. I don't know what happened to Asa, but he did not finish strong. And we've got to finish strong. And I hope that I can live up to the words that I'm preaching. But Asa had his heart turned away. And you know what? Disease can do that. And we can put our trust in the wrong. And again, I find myself, who else can you trust? I mean, I'm not a doctor. I can't do this and I can't do that. And I can't diagnose myself. And I'm like, the doctor says I got to do that and I got to do that. And that's what I do. But if you think I'm not praying, or if you think you're not praying, or if you're not praying, I would say you're not being wise. You're being foolish. Just like Asa was. I want to look at one last passage over in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5. He says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8. The Lord is with you while you are with the Lord. The lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, the Lord's not on your side. Oh, he's your creator, but you don't have the relationship with him that you need. And so we stand ready to invite you to come, like the Spirit and the bride say, come. Jesus says, come. The Father invites you to come. Come to Jesus and wash your sins away. Chad talked about how that the cup represents his blood, which is the remission of sins. You can have your sins washed away and remember no more. If there's sin in your life, like we talked about, with the Israelites, they were coming down out of the northern kingdom. They were turning. They were turning back to God. They were repenting. And you can do that as a Christian. Things are wrong. You can turn around. And from this day forward, you can do what's right and be right with God. He is more than willing and patient and long-suffering to forgive. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come as we all stand and sing.